When Dr. Karen Herron launched a 2-week spirituality group as part of her PhD, she didn't expect it to last 2.5 years. As life would have it, one experience led to another, and participants kept showing up. They were looking for something more than therapy. Dr. Herrick has a PhD in spiritual psychology, is a licensed psychotherapist, and fascinated with the worlds of spirituality, the paranormal, and mystical breakthroughs. She shares that one of the best things we can do is show up in our lives and become an active participant in experiences. Today, we talk about symbols, dreams, synchronicity, and even paranormal events. This episode is about what she's learned after 30 plus years of combining psychotherapy and spirituality and why we're never alone. Let's dive into this divine conversation. And thanks for being here. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And today I'm sitting down with Dr. Karen Herrick. Thank you. If you are a listener that is here weekly or almost weekly, I just in such gratitude for you to keep listening and hearing voices like Dr. Herrick today that I know that are very expansive to your world. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And welcome to any new listeners that we have that are just discovering Mystical Sisterhood. We have a whole backlog of more than 160 episodes now, and I know that there are messages in there for you. Let me say a moment about Dr. Herrick. She came to me through a representative for her, and I get a lot of these, and I read the bio and sort of what she was offering. And it's really the kind of thing that I know it when I read it or I hear it. And I think like this person is not only a really good fit, but has something to offer that maybe we haven't talked about yet, which is always really crazy to me because we've had so many conversations with intuitives and healers and specialists in their field that even myself, I'm like, wow, we keep on uncovering more and more. So I'll briefly say that Dr. and Reverend Karen Herrick, she's a PhD, an LCSW, a psychotherapist whose research and 30 years of practice sit at the intersection of grief, addiction, and spiritual experience. Her research explores how paranormal and after-death experiences can support healing, especially for those navigating loss or spiritual emergence. She's the author of Psychology of the Soul and the Paranormal, You're Not Finished Yet, and Grandma, What is a Soul? So there's lots to cover today here, and welcome to you, Dr. Herrick.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here, Maureen, really.
It's so exciting. You know, when we got to meet, I feel like it's a couple months ago, we just dove right in. And I thought that, you know, how did you get into this work? And what was the first opening where you just stepped that first foot into the door? I know everything else before that led up to that moment, but what was the opening for you that started this, your own expansion, your own spiritual expansion?
I think it was when I had a spiritual experience and I didn't expect that. I had studied them through William James and Carl Jung, and I went to a conference where it just happened to be a synchronicity that my daughter was going to sleepaway camp for a week in August, and this conference came up at that same time. And I was supposed to learn about transpersonal psychology and Carl Jung, although I didn't know that's exactly why I was going. And we had classes, and then the third day we were to lay down and breathe. I had no idea what that was. And I was with, there were 21 of us for this, I guess you could call it an intensive in Jungian psychology. And so I asked if my partner, and he had breathed before, whatever that meant. And I'd asked for him to let me breathe first, because I didn't want to watch. I wanted to do it. And so they did a meditation. And at the end of the meditation, they said, don't think, just breathe. And so it was the first time in my life, probably, that I had been told not to think, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
And we're always thinking. And so anyway, I laid down and they played music that activated our chakra system, which is the seven chakras that are up and down your spine. And so laying there, they start with drumming music and you're just breathing. So you breathe in intensive and breathe out. And so you're putting yourself in an altered state of consciousness, although they never said that. And I was feeling all kinds of neat things with the music and just laying there. And then all of a sudden, I pulled my feet up in the birthing position. So you're on a pillow and a blanket and with your person sitting next to you in case you need something. I have no idea. But anyway, I started to breathe. And then all of a sudden, I felt this breath come into my body and out my mouth. And I thought, whose breath is that? And don't think, just breathe. So I kept breathing, and this breath was very strong. And so we breathed together for a while. And then I started to feel like something was changing in my body. And I asked my partner to push on my feet. I wanted my feet up and push on them. And he didn't do it right, whatever that meant. And then these trainers came over and they said, hold my arms. They were behind me. And they kept telling me to push and keep pushing and keep pushing. And it was very chaotic. And then I had the thought, where is my mother? And I thought, why am I having that thought? And don't think, just breathe. So I always do what I'm told in education. So anyway, at the end, I stood up. Now, before this, I had never really known there was a God. And as I looked around to these 20 people, I loved them. I felt this tremendous love for them. And I had thought a few days earlier they were just really weird people because they knew different things. And then I knew we were all connected to everybody on earth. And I knew there was a God. So that was the first time that I really awakened. However, when you awaken like that with putting yourself in an altered state of consciousness, it's very crazy because you have no idea what happened to you. Now, then they told us never to talk to anybody. And then we were to go to this other room and we had to draw this picture in a circle, which is a mandala drawing. And Jung believes in those. And so does William James, our father of American psychology. Anyway, so I drew a tree and a flower and grass and the sun and just a simple kid's drawing, really. And then we went to lunch because food grounds you. Now, I had thought this had lasted about 20 minutes. And I had been there 3.5 to 4 hours on the floor, so I had been out there. And so we went to lunch, and then after lunch, everybody sat in a circle and we shared our drawings. And nobody else had another breath come into them, so I never mentioned it. And the professor said, "Well, that's a rebirth. You had a rebirth." And I said, "Oh, okay, just
Oh my gosh. And that was
not
the
so much."
timing of your mother, like when you said, did you say I want my mother, or
Where is my mother, right?
where is my
And so
mother?
I think that's what we all feel going down the birth canal, because I was re-experiencing my real birth in this life. That was what
Amazing.
that chaotic was. And Stan Grof, who is someone from Europe who invented this as a way to just naturally go into an altered state, because he had been using drugs to put people in altered states and finding out where they went and what they saw. And he couldn't do that anymore, so then he had to figure this altered, natural way to do it.
Wow. Yeah. And were you already a practicing therapist at that
I
time?
was a practicing therapist, and I was practicing at the Center for Children of Alcoholics, which I created in Red Bank, New Jersey. And I didn't know it, but people that came from traumatic backgrounds as children had the ability to disassociate easier than another kind of a person who didn't have a traumatic childhood. And so I was getting lots of different spiritual stories that other therapists weren't getting. And I didn't know it was because I had naturally picked this trauma group to specialize in.
Oh, and then with that word dissociate that you use, I feel like I always hear that almost like in, I know this is a, there's no, right, wrong, negative, positive, but you hear that often in a negative way. I sense that you're using it in a different way, like an ability to connect or something like
Well,
that.
I had this was my first breath work, and so I had a real spiritual experience the first time because I breathed, and I came from an alcoholic family, so I
Okay.
knew what trauma was, and it was just amazing how, as you say, people that will be listening to this who really need it today, they don't even know they need it. This is
Right.
synchronicity of showing up at a time when you are going to have a big change that you don't even know is happening.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I like to hear those kind of areas of where your career has been and what you've experienced, because when we look back, it's easy to see how one thing led to the other, to the next, to the, and it's not always the easiest when you're in it to trust it. But what have you learned about that? Like, just do you now feel like you have just this great trust in life that it will be revealed what is meant to be?
Well, I know there's a God, and so I talk a lot to my ancestors that are over on the other side, and I talk to God, I talk to spirits, my spiritual guides. I've never met them, I don't know who they are, but supposedly we all get them, and
Yes.
we get them for life. So there are these spirits who are watching over us, and then some days you say, "Well, where are you?
Right, right.
I'm down here by myself, and I need
Right.
you today." So yes, I really do have faith that there is something to show up for, I guess. And I think half a life is showing up. Like, you're not going to find it laying on the couch, in the red bathrobe. It's not going to work.
I like what you're saying too. I'll just note that when you just said, I don't know their names necessarily, thank you. Because I think that sometimes when I've been led into meditations and who's here, and I might get imagery, but I don't always get names, and that's okay. So there's no rules to this whole thing, right? And they're just so, what is your solo experience and what you're experiencing? And that's validation in and of itself. It doesn't need to be anything else.
Yeah, so I think synchronicity is really important, that you need to believe that there is something out there waiting for you, but you have to show up for it.
Right. Yes. And so the flip side of that, because you're a therapist, is it the healing work? Is it like kind of like the yin and the yang? Like they go together, the healing, and the word shedding is often used these days, but it is true. That's been my experience, because you have the PhD in spiritual psychology, and I love the work. And I've trained with Susie Lula, who's a spiritual psychologist. And you know what? Layer upon layer upon layer over the years has allowed me to be where I am today and understand it's the both. But what's your experience with that?
Well, I do think that number one, you do have to show up, and then it's scary. And so you're going through a lot of fear. And I believe fear, of course, is false evidence appearing real, even though it feels real. So that's what I try to do. And I try to look for openings, and if not, I create openings if I can.
Okay. And you mean within yourself and with your clients to
Yes. And then
really.
also to learn more. Now, so when I came back from that experience, of course, it took me about a year to figure out what the total thing of what had happened to me. And I did that through reading about Bill Wilson, the founder of AA, and he said that he prayed, "If there was a God, please take away his desire to drink." And the room filled up with light, and he had this breath go through him that was of spirit. And I thought, "Oh, that's what happened to me." Okay. Well, anyway, the next few weeks when I got back, there was this gentleman that he was a recovering alcoholic. And on the way out, therapists call this a doorknob issue. They say something very important that you want to make sure you handle the next time. And he said, "I leave my body at night, and I'm really afraid sometimes that I won't be able to get back in." And I thought, I don't know what I thought, but I said, and this was had to come from the spirit world because I didn't think of it, "Well, how do you usually get back in?" And so that was really good, right? And that was not from me. And so he said, "Well, I think about it," and he said, "Then I get back in."
Okay.
And that's how you get in your body if you ever find yourself in your spiritual body. So that's another thing that I believe is that we have two bodies. We have the physical body that you and I are in right now talking to each other. And then there's the spiritual body. And St. Paul in the Bible talks about that. He said, you come in on the physical and you leave on the spiritual. So your spiritual body is what people would call a ghost, I guess, but it is made up of chemicals and atoms and all different things that it's in your, I believe it's in your soul is in your mind, which is your conscious and your unconscious and your soul. And that is what goes to the other side. So you take this little voice that's always with you, you take that with you. and you go to the other side. Well, at the time when he said he leaves his body, I didn't know there were two bodies. So, but I researched and found out there was a place in Virginia that he could go, and it would teach him how to leave his body and how to get back in. And that's called the Farber Institute. And so then by the time he came back, I had an answer that we could discuss. And of course, since this strange thing had happened to me, I believed him. Whereas some people would not have believed him.
And then that gets closeted, and that becomes like something that's not acceptable.
I can't say this to anybody because I am really weird, you know?
Well, and I'm thinking, well, with your description of what happened to you when you went through the meditation and were rebirthed, a guest that I'm having to her episodes in a week or two, she had one where she was conscious, driving, but stuck in traffic at a standstill, and then just something occurred where it became almost another dimensional experience. And I think these conversations are important because I don't know what is happening right now. I read a lot and read a lot about, oh, the veil is thinning. If you're open, or I don't think it's that your channels are open, but if you're curious, and even if you're not, there's synchronicity, there's signs, there's information. What I'm finding is there's information everywhere for us. And almost every conversation I'm in or over here, it's got something for me. So I was going to ask you, like, in terms of, because I know spiritual psychology is a lot the, soul principles and spiritual principles and our human self. And so that dance is, I think even in my own life, when I realize the things that present as challenges for me and are clearly here for me to work with and through, I can hold those now for me as what am I here to learn about myself and these sorts of things. And sometimes that the human side gets pretty heavy. And so how do you kind of, is it a gradual weaving in of how you kind of work with people and go into the spiritual principles alongside the humanness that we are living in?
Yeah, you have to decide what they need. I remember a client who came and he was scared to death. He was like 29 years old and afraid. And of course, for men, therapy is harder. And I knew that, but this guy, there was something really off. So I said, you seem very frightened. Now he lived with an alcoholic father. And so I assumed there was lots of trauma there. And so I said, you seem really afraid. And is there anything that you're not telling me that has happened to you? I've never said this really to anybody before that. And oh, no. And he was like, so I said, okay. Well, and we did the usual, and I give homework. And he came because his relationship had broken up. And that's what he heard I was good at. And so they all come for their own reason, so they get from the world what you're good at, and then you have to fill in. So anyway, when he came back 2 weeks later, he was just as afraid. So I usually have my portable computer and I'm typing and everything, and so I put everything down and I said, you're really afraid, and I know it's typical to be afraid, but you've been here once and we have the homework that you've done, and that's wonderful. However, I need to know if you're hiding something from me. So he goes, well, there is this one thing. And I said, okay. And he said, and I told my priest said never to repeat it. And I said, oh, okay. I said, but I hear really weird things. So I'm really interested. So anyway, and he said, well, he went home this one night. He gets home late, about 10 o'clock, and his father was in the kitchen drunk. There were knives on the chopping block, and they got into it, and this father threw this knife at him. And he said, this sheep. Now then he said what William James said they will always tell you. I don't have the words to explain this to you, but I'm going to try. And he said, this sheet of plexiglass. Now he said, I know it wasn't really plexiglass, but that's what it felt like. Came down in front of me, and the knife bounced off of him. And I said, oh, okay. I said, you had a spiritual experience. And that has happened to a lot of people, things like that. That
That's
we
cool.
can't explain. I said, apparently it's never happened to your priest. But he said, the priest told him to forget it. And I said, can you forget it? And he said, no, and you can't. There is no way you're going to forget something like that. So I said, okay, now you didn't come here for this, but, and you're young, but if you want some reading material, I'd be glad to give a bibliography of different books you can read. And something about maybe the near-death experience is going to really help you too with people who have had this sheet of plexiglass. And I had had another a client during my survey when I did my PhD work who said she was on this mountain road coming back from skiing and she was tired and her car slipped. And she said there was like a sheet of plexiglass that saved the car. I
Yeah,
know.
I've never heard that. That's absolutely fascinating.
And so I said, anytime you want to talk about this, I know about these kinds of things, and you can
That's
come here anytime and talk about that. Now, can we get back to your relationship? And he was like, oh, thank God.
right. And that's that just the safety to be able to come and say that and not be, considered nuts in some way
Because that is really weird. You know,
or
how many
yeah.
people have had a knife bounce off in front of them? And I said, in number two, we cannot count on that happening again.
Okay,
I said, so
right.
you will not be in the kitchen with your father when he's drunk and there's knives on the chopping block again.
Yes. Have you found your own sort of people in the field of psychotherapy and, providing?
You find them scattered.
Well, I
Yes.
was going to say even with your colleagues, like who kind of is in unison with how you think?
Not a lot of people when I was in New Jersey, and not a lot of people here. So
Okay.
I have to go on the internet. I have to call,
Yes.
and I know, and they know. And for those of us, who know these things, when we get together, it's really wonderful.
Yes. And I think that your people find you too, right? Your
They
clients
do.
who's meant to come
Yeah.
to you.
I
Yeah.
teach other therapists on the internet, and so there's always a few that
Okay.
come back and say, they have this intuition or they've had this happen, but they can't say that in their where they work.
Okay. Yeah. I have a feeling there may be changes in that. I recently saw, Rick, I think it's Dick Schwartz, and he does internal family systems, that there was a course through Sounds True, because I get all these emails from all these different places saying
Yes.
the spirituality of IFS, So I think that it's really in, I think in the greatest way, beginning to open up and
Oh, yes.
beginning to, what I mean? When you see course names like that and you're just like, more of this is great. Yeah.
Yeah, the American Psychological Association published a book in 2023 stating that there is life after death. Now, that's a biggie
That
for a
is a biggie.
psychological association. Now, it's a $60 book and they don't advertise it, but I can use it with, I shouldn't say they don't advertise it, but I mean, it's in their catalog. But that's it. But there are then other therapists then will really listen because the APA has said there are
Sure.
16 different things that happen to you when you go to the other side. And because of the near-death research of all the people that have had the near-death experience since Raymond Moody's book in 1975, this Canadian researcher had researched this book. And it's very good. He doesn't talk about the other 150 years that we have of all this other research, but it's okay. It's a start.
It is a start, and we're often bound by, licensure. I was a speech language pathologist in my former career. And I think that I was just, when I was listening to the popular series, The Telepathy Tapes, last year, they had speech therapists who had worked with these young children, and they're talking about how these children have telepathic abilities, and they're trying to set up these studies that really like can show that this is truly happening. But I remember them just being saying a part about how the governing body for the therapists, could not back some of what they were saying in the actual, series. And, it's one of those things, like, I can sit and listen to things. I think it's like trusting that inner voice, inner your own barometer that says that's true or that's not. So I just always kind of follow my heart, and if it resonates, then I know it's for me.
Yes, and your intuition is your first stage, I think, of listening to the other side. Because with intuition, you really get messages, or your whole body feels them. You
Yes,
know,
yes.
your senses come into play. And then that's what really tells you.
Isn't that interesting? Because it just made me think of how when you're young and they say, like, these are your five senses. And you've got what, hearing, taste, smell, sound, and touch. They never mention intuition.
No, they
So,
don't. That needs to come into our world. You know,
right.
I always say there's the normal world and then there's this world.
Yes.
And then we're
I know.
speaking to the people in the normal world who have all of these problems that this could solve.
Yes. I know that you have a few books out there. I want to talk about two because one thing that I didn't get to talk to you about when we met, and just our meet and greet call was this concept, if I'm saying it right, of pretergression.
Pretergression.
Can you say what that is? I don't know if we've covered it
Yes,
or.
pretergression. No, I don't think we did.
Yeah.
Came from Raymond Moody was a consultant on my PhD company. So I read everything he had written at that time, which was the early 2000s. And he had this term pretergression, and he said it was the purpose of the paranormal. So, and he wrote a little bit about it, like an educational paragraph. And so I asked him about it, and he said just what he said in the paragraph. Now, I like examples, right? So I didn't get an example. So I was thinking about that. How is it? So then I was running spirituality groups for my PhD. So my spirituality group was supposed to last 12 weeks. It lasted 2 to 3 years.
Wow, yeah.
And people kept coming in and re-upping. We'd do it for 12 weeks. We'd take 2 weeks off and then we'd do another 12 weeks because they wanted something more than therapy. Anyway, this client was very depressed as she had been born on Wednesday, which her family said was that was a child full of woe. And she believed that. And so we were, talking about the depression as a spiritual awakening. And we had told her all different kinds of things from the group and what to do. So this was after Christmas. And she said she was so depressed that Sunday. She had taken a walk, she had done it, all these things that we had said. And then she decided to sit down and meditate. So she sat down and she meditated. She was Catholic. And the three kings came to her in her meditation. And they bowed to her and they gave her all these gifts. And she woke up and her depression was gone, just gone. So I was thinking when she sat there in front of me, this is pretergression now, because he said that images that you had would come back to you and they would help you through whatever it was you were going through.
Oh,
And
yeah.
she had the three kings. And I bet it happened right around the Three Kings Day. That was just, if I could look it up, that's what I think I would find in the notes. But and after that, she just knew if the three kings were going to bow to her, that she really wasn't Wednesday's child.
Wow. That's amazing. And what a synchronicity. The other day, I went to a women's event, and there were about 20 women there. It was a beautiful place in Chicago. And I think I shared the name of the thing, the seminar was Trust Yourself. And I shared because the woman was asking, like, what do we kind of like want to step into? And I was saying, letting myself shine even more. And saying, like, when I was young and growing up in a big family, like, a lot of times my voice, I felt like it got dampened down and everything. And a woman said to me, "Oh gosh, I so related to what you shared." And she said, "I was born on a Wednesday. And I always heard Wednesday's child is child of woe." And it isn't that amazing? Because I was saying to her, I remember having the plaque for my older son. And he was born on a Sunday, and I can't remember what that child is, but it had sort of a positive kind of connotation. And geez, what a number these kind of the conditioning can do on us.
Yeah.
So I love that because I have not heard the Wednesday's child in a million years, and I'm
Now,
hearing
see
it
what a
twice.
synchronicity that is,
It's
right?
like within 4 days. Yeah.
I know, I know. That's what's so wonderful about it.
Exactly. I love that. So when we were together too, I think you told me about the one book that you wrote is was it Grandma, What is a Soul?
What
Would you
is a soul?
tell us about that? That was great.
Okay, so it was my grandson, and he was between 5 and 7. I can never remember how old, but he was in the back seat, in his car seat, and we had every Friday together, and I would take him places. And anyway, he says, "Grandma, I don't like to talk about this very often," and I could tell he was afraid, "but I don't want you to die." I thought, well, we never had talked about this, so I said, "Well, you usually die when you're really, really old." And so I lied and I said, "I'm not really that old yet." And I said, "But when I get to be really, really old and I come back," I said, "I'll come back and watch over. My soul will come back and watch over you." And he goes, "Grandma, what is a soul?" So that was the big question. And since I had a PhD in spiritual psychology, I thought, well, I can do this. So anyway, I explained to him about, let me see, I do have it.
That's great. Out of the mouths of babes,
Oh,
right?
and he was something. And he really has been. I said a soul is a spiritual part of a person, and it's the part of us that's connected to God or the higher power of the universe, and it contains the plan for our life. Oh, do I have one? Oh, yes, we all have one. Where is it in my body? Well, it's in your unconscious. Well, what's that? Well, your mind is divided into two parts, a conscious part and an unconscious part. And your conscious part is talking to me right now, and your unconscious part is invisible. What's invisible mean again? Invisible means we can't see it and we don't know that it's here or there. Okay, where is my unconscious in my body? Well, let's just say it's deep inside of you, maybe floating in the bottom of your stomach. Okay, when your brother was 9 years old, he told me that he read about the unconscious in his Calvin and Hobbes book. And he said it's very scary down there and you need a flashlight to see. And all this old stuff is piled up and people don't like going down there. And the soul is down there in this unconscious place in our stomach, Grandma? Yes. Well, how can you look over me when you die if your soul is still in your stomach? While we are alive, our soul is invisible to us, and we have a built-in amnesia about it. What's amnesia? It means we forget we have it. And then when we die, then it's time to connect to our soul. How do we do that? Well, when we die, we give up our ghost. Oh, I know what a ghost is. A ghost is a dead person who flies around. Yes, that's right. And when we die, our ghost leaves our body out through the top of our head, where our soft spot used to be. Wow, that's neat, Grandma. Yes, it is. And is our soul inside of the ghost? Yes. It seems that this wispy body we have when we give up our ghost contains our soul and our mind. And we take these things with us to heaven. Grandma, what happens when we get to heaven? When your ghost leaves your physical body, you sometimes go through a dark tunnel, which I believe is the vagus nerve. Oh, that sounds scary. Well, it happens so fast, you don't have much time to be scared. And then pretty soon you see this wonderful white light at the end of the tunnel. And the light is very warm and comforting, like the flannel sheets on your bed in the winter. They are very warm and soft. Yes, and in and around this wonderful light are relatives and loved ones who have died before you, who are waiting there to greet you. That's pretty good, Grandma. But what happens if none of your friends have died? Well, this will happen a long time from now, when some of your loved ones will have died. And since I'm older than you, I will be one of those relatives who will probably die before you. So I will be up there to greet you and show you around. But right now, you could have relatives like your grandpa who you didn't really know, and maybe, some animals who have died. Oh, so my old cat will be there to say hello to me? Yes, animals are in heaven and they wait for us too. That would be fun to see my old cat again. And you could see Emma too when you go to heaven. Yes, I could. But Grandma, how are you going to watch over me when you die, before I die, if you stay at the end of the tunnel and wait for me? Well, I will be waiting for you at the end of the tunnel because we love each other. And love acts like a magnet. So I will know when it's your time to leave Earth. I will then go to the end of the tunnel and wait. And when I die, once my ghost leaves the tunnel and goes into the light, then I can learn how to fly and move around heaven like I do here on Earth. Then I would fly, find you, and hover over you while you're still here on Earth before you die and come through the tunnel. Oh, so that's how you would watch over me. That's right. But Grandma, if you are a ghost who is flying around and just watching me, don't you think you'll get bored? Duncan, do you remember today when you said you would like to go to all around the world in minutes and see all the countries you want to see? Yes. Well, as a ghost, I could do that. So you could travel to places and then come back and watch over me. Yeah, so I wouldn't be bored, just like when I do things here on Earth while you're at school or with your parents. There is lots to do up in heaven to keep people busy. So in that way, we aren't really dead. We're alive, but just in another way. There's one problem, Grandma. I wouldn't be able to talk to you. Remember yesterday when you rubbed two hair brushes together and you created static electricity, which could make your hair stand up? Yes. Well, we all have energy and electricity like that in us when we're here on earth and also in heaven. The best conductor of energy is the love we feel for each other. Love is the strongest magnetic force there is. And remember, we will always love each other. That's really nice, Grandma. You bet it is. I can use my energy or love to come to you in your dreams, and you and I can talk then. And we won't use words, though. We will use thoughts, and we will be able to talk just by thinking things to each other. Boy, Grandma, that sounds like fun, and it would be quick, too. And then my dreams wouldn't be so scary either, because you'll be in them. Right, Grandma. Yes. Grandma, you won't die again in heaven because you already died. So you will live a long time in heaven, right? Yes, I will live a very long time in heaven. And while I'm in heaven, I will be a positive ancestor watching over you. And it's important to remember that God, your guardian angels, your positive ancestors, and other spiritual guides are always watching over you every day, even now. So when you have a problem, you can always say a prayer to them when there's no adult around to help you. Okay, so I can pray any time, not just at night before I go to bed. That's right, any time at all. Okay, Grandma, can we stop talking about this? I'm getting tired. I need to take my thinking cap off. Sure, Duncan, we can talk more about it another day if you want to. Duncan must not worry about Grandma dying anymore because so far he hasn't asked any more questions about it.
Wow, that's stunning. I love it. What
Well, it
kind of,
was interesting because he had a brother who's 12 years older than he. And because other people have said it sounds like an older child, right? Well, his brother, when he was three and a half, was a Pokemon person. And Duncan would be saying, "What's the name of this card? Tell me the name of this card," and bothering him. So he said, "I'm going to teach you to read phonetically." And he did. So he could read at 3.5 to 4. And
Amazing.
so he really had, a pretty good mind. And
Oh, wow.
he's now in college. So
That's amazing. You know, it's such a beautiful, I love the way that you wrote it and the grandma and the grandma and the grandma and the inquisitiveness. And I think so many times children's books, especially one like this, they're applicable to all ages. So I definitely want to get a copy of that. I want to also, what kind of in the aftermath of writing that, what kind of feedback have you gotten?
oh, there's so many people, adults, a lot of adults who we say adult children sometimes, who have read that book at a time of grief. And it really has been helpful to them, very much so. And I had people at the beginning of the book that wrote different men that were like, teaching all of this. And one of them said that he wished he had had a grandmother who told him this because he wasn't taken to the funeral of his Poppy, but he was taken to this place a few weeks later where there were all kinds of cans, and Poppy was in one of the cans. And
Interesting.
he never could understand how Poppy got in there.
Wow. Yes, that's amazing. How about you mentioned that you felt like the vagus nerve is the portal. So can you say your thoughts about that?
Some research that I've done through mediumship, and I went to a place where mediums lived in by Lake Erie in New York, Lilydale. There was a museum there, and I saw this three-ring notebook, and I look and it looked into it, and this woman had been a teacher of other mediums, and she sometimes they have a main guide who comes in and talks to you, and mediums used to go into trance. So you would all be in this dark room, and this person would come out, and her person was a doctor, and he explained the vagus nerve as being the well, he didn't say tunnel, but that's my word for it, because in Raymond Moody's near-death experiences, they all go through a tunnel, most of them, and then come out into a bright light. And so if you're going through the vagus nerve, which is your 10th and longest nerve in your body, starts at the top of your head and goes down around your neck, touches the amygdala, it goes down your spinal column. So Darwin in the 1700s said that this really helped with anxiety because your stomach feels the anxiety and tells your brain danger, danger, and your heart rate goes up. So I started learning about the vagus nerve to help people in panic and anxiety. And if they would do the vagus breath, which is breathe in 4, hold it, breathe out again as long as you can. Some people call it the yoga breath. You can calm yourself down. And so I found that very important. But then I started learning about this vagus and how, what an important nerve it is for the sympathetic nervous system. And Carl Jung talks about it being a part of synchronicity. This is part of how all these different things kind of just jump into us and we get them. So I'm hoping to write more about that. In my last book about the paranormal and psychology gives you illustrations about the vagus nerve.
Thank you so much for so much of what you've offered today, because it's really fresh perspectives, and I'm always blown away. Like, you are naming texts and work that has been around for hundreds of years. And so just the work coming through someone like you, bringing it forward. Now we've got these great mediums like podcasts and things like this to kind of like megaphone it out to the world. But understanding like what's right at our fingertips. And yeah, like in the world of AI and all these outer distractions that we have, all this beautiful with the right guidance technology within us to settle our nervous systems, to come one with our body, just so many beautiful things. So thanks for that. It's really cool.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I think it's really cool too. If you really, now what's really going to help people is a term from this 2023 book from the APA called the Bogle threshold, right? So when I read this book, I thought, oh, he really has something here because I really believe education, you and I talking, and we're going to educate people who are listening to this is the key. But I never had a name for this threshold, but it indicates the level which the mind reacts with a negative reaction that is caused by bizarre ideas and the improbability of a phenomenon, right? So if you don't believe in a soul, well, in that children's book, I have a section for parents on the back, in the back, that it's just a few pages, but it teaches you about the soul. Because all religions believe we have one, but they don't really tell you that that's where what takes you across. And I believe it is a synchronistic event. You said this woman is going to talk about having this experience in her car. It's when the soul decides you're going to have this that it comes. So it's a karmic experience, right?
See, this
But
is the whole
you can help your soul by getting to the right place.
Well, in this, I always laugh because who knows why I started this podcast, but I know that I was just led here. And then
That's
I
right.
get to, I have, you know, I'm interviewing you today, and there's a psychic medium from England. And that's not always the, you know, I interview a lot of different people, but I had you at 10 o'clock today, and I have her at 12. I'm like, this is going to be a good day.
It's going to be a good day. I'll have to
So,
listen to that one.
As we kind of, you know, round out, we covered great things today. I'm hoping we have a continued partnership in some way. I'm like, oh
That
gosh,
would be great. I would love that.
I know I've got so many ideas in my mind, but you know, I always ask my guests, is there something coming through you, to you, to impart that you may feel that people may need to hear right now? Any sort of messages?
Yeah, well, I think the first one would be half a life is showing up because so many people live in fear. And you're not going to get it on the couch. And keep telling yourself that and just walk through the fear. False evidence appearing real is what fear is. And there's so many possibilities in life. So please try to take advantage. So if someone asks you to join a group and you think, oh, I don't know if those people will like me, you join a group, you show up. And you have two bodies, one physical and one spiritual. And as you're going through life, it'd be important to take care of these bodies. So what I know is that the spirituality that you get here on earth is what's going to help you on the other side. Because I had my oldest daughter is on the other side. And she told me through a medium that how I explained life on the other side really did help when she got there. So you need to be spiritual and learn about faith. And try to get yourself in places with people or listen to people like Maureen. Listen to her every week if she's on every week because it's going to help you. And there are different dimensions once you transition. And that is the word that the APA is now using for dying. You transition to another life. And that's really so many people in grief, if they would really know that their loved ones are still there. And when you get thoughts about your aunt or your grandmother or anyone who has been on the other side, they are trying to reach you.
It's beautiful. Thank you.
You're
Those are
welcome.
great takeaways. It's been a pleasure having you. Now, share the ways you work with people. Is it only in town? You said you've got some groups or you're
No, I
really.
work now. I'm in New. Where am I? I'm in Nevada, and I've moved from New Jersey. I've been here 2 years, and
Okay.
so I work with people on Zoom on the telephone from New Jersey, and then I see people here
Okay.
part time. But they can reach me on my email, Karen, Karen at Karen Herrick, Herrick dot com, and then we can talk about, talking on the phone and all that kind of stuff.
Great, great. I love it. Okay, thank you for being here with us today. Thank you to the listener for being here, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.